Okay, today is the 26th of June 2016. You've joined us for the evening service of the Pineville Weatherby House Church. And we're probably going to be doing some travel this fall. The plans are to go visit some other brethren out of the state of Missouri. And this, we've been thinking about maybe after the New Year's Eve service down at Mr. Jerry Maurer's Cherokee Village House Church, that we might even go down and see our brother Mike McGinnis in Florida sometime in February or March. I mean, yeah, January, February, March, if the Lord opens the doors. We love brother Michael McGinnis. And also, we might be going back up sometime before the end of the year, back up to the Hermitage Primitive Baptist Church with Pastor Joe Evans, if the Lord's in the matter. It probably will be, I'd say, in a couple, 3 months from now. And we plan on visiting Brother Jerry Maurer again before the end of the year and before New Year's Eve service. So we're planning on doing some travel and fellowshipping with these brothers and sisters in Christ. We had a good time of fellowship today at the Joplin Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. And Brother Michael preached an excellent sermon. God helped him on the exposition of John 6, and John 10, John 8, 14, and passages out of Peter regarding the irresistible grace and the faith of Christ. Igor was there today. We're glad to see him fellowshipping with us, so that's good. The first selection, Marcus picked one of his favorite selections, Wait and Murmur Not. And I can see why Mark likes that song so well, because he's had to wait a long time for, wait a minute, that's Poor, Weak, and Worthless, 272, I'm sorry, 272. Yeah, that's, he's had to wait a long time for the hope that he has in Christ. Mark, you want to start that?
Oh, troubled heart, there is a home beyond the reach of toil and care. A home where changes never come. Who would not faint be resting there? Oh, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, meekly wait and murmur not. Oh, wait and murmur not. Yet when bow down beneath the load, thy hand will out thy earthly lot. Look up, thou reach the blessed abode. Wait meekly, wait and murmur not. Toil on, nor deem the sore it be. One sigh and heard one prayer for God. The day of rest will dawn for thee. Wait meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, wait meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, wait, meekly, wait and murmur not. Oh, wait and murmur not.
Okay, the next one is Taken Out of the Psalter. Rosette would like to sing page 53, Psalm 102a. 53, Psalm 102a. Mark, you want to start that?
To this my prayer, O listen, Lord, and let my cry for help reach you. In day of grief, hide not your face, your listening ear toward me open. The day I call, your answer say. For all my days go up in smoke, and like a heart my bones are burnt. Like brass my heart is crushed and dry, I daily feel forgotten me. My skin and bones together plead, with sighs and groans my frame resounds. I'm like a desert pelican, or like an owl in ruined waste. I lie awake as on the bridge, a sparrow stands alone aloof. All day my foes their talks repeat, they're filled with anger, curse my name. I feed with tears and ashes mix, for you on me in anger frown. You raise me up to throw me down. An evening shadow are my days, like grass I wither soon away. But you, Jehovah, sit enthroned forever, your memorial abides to generations all.
Okay, the last one before we transition over to the other part of the service will be number 433, and I'm going to have to ask you to just put that down on low, because I'm getting a little bit of extra there. There we go. No, put it on low, please. Thank you. Mark, you want to start that for us?
Bow to the power of God supreme, be everlasting honor given, and I don't care if you stay here long. He saves from hell, we bless his name. He calls our wandering feet to him, and I don't care if you stay here long. Right up yonder, Christians, away up yonder. Oh, yes, my Lord, for I don't care to stay here long. Not for our duties or deserts, but of his own abounding grace, and I don't care to stay here long. He works salvation in our hearts, and forms a people for his praise, and I don't care to stay here long. Right up yonder, Christians, away up yonder. Oh, yes, my Lord, and I don't care to stay here long. 'Twas his own purpose that began to rescue rebels doomed to die, and I don't care to stay here long. He gave us Christ in Christ his Son, before he spread the starry sky, and I don't care to stay here long. Jesus the Lord appears at last, and makes his Father's counsels known, and I don't care to stay here long. Declares the great transactions past, and brings immortal blessings down, and I don't care to stay here long. He dies, and in that dreadful night did all the powers of hell destroy, and I don't care to stay here long. Rising, he brought our heaven to light, and took possession of the joy, and I don't care to stay here long. Right up yonder, Christians away up yonder. Oh, yes, my Lord, and I don't care to stay here long.
Dear Lord, we're grateful that we can gather together. You said, where two or three are together, two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them. We thank you for this promise, and we thank you that we can honor and exalt and praise you while we are yet living. And we look forward to the day when we can praise you throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. We pray that you would be with us in this service in a special way, and that your word would be open to us, and that we would say something that would edify and build up the body of Christ. We ask this in Christ's name and for your glory alone. Amen. Well, I'm glad that we have the great emancipator, redeemer, propitiator, high priest, advocate, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a good thing to dwell upon, to think about the fact that he is our all in all. He is our King of Kings. He is our Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He's the first and he is the last. And I'm glad that we have the Bible to give us courage to walk this life of, while we're here in this life of sorrow, while we're living in a sin-cursed world, while we're amongst people that are not the people of God. You know, if we are his people, we are walking amongst tares. We're wheat amongst the tares. You know. And I want to now just look at 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to just look at a few verses in that chapter. And Mark has agreed to help us read. And I thought what we would do before we make comments that, Mark, what I'll have you do is, you know, I'll have you read down through the first six verses, and then I'll read six and we'll go back and forth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Please read loudly so we can pick it up on the recorder.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 6.
Yes. Loud, please.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, of the obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in that heaviness through manifold temptations.
Well, I'm going to read down from verses 7 through 14, and then I'm going to ask Mark to read 15 through 25. I'm going to be reading now from verses 7 through 14. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesy of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Mark.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him you believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls, and obeying the truth through the spirit of the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corrupted seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel preached unto you.
Well, there's a lot of meat in this chapter, and it would take hours and hours and hours to go through every little point that, you know, Peter is making as he goes through this, and I'm not going to take hours and hours, and I'm going to try to, in about 30 minutes, go through these 25 verses, so that only gives me about a little over a minute in each verse, which is really difficult to do. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice here that Peter doesn't claim to be ordained by men. He doesn't claim to be in any sect. He doesn't claim anybody's baptism. He says that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he says that his apostleship is to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter's ministry, by and large, was to strangers. That's the way it is with us. Sometimes we wonder, is anybody out there? You know, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Yes, there are people out there, and there are people hearing. And you may never know them in this lifetime. God has granted us the opportunity to meet a few of his elect along the way. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Again, our election, okay, was according to God knowing us before the foundation of the world. That is, our election is according to God knowing us before the foundation of the world. Through sanctification of the Spirit. What does that mean? Through being set apart by the Spirit of God. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice it's unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. In other words, our election was unto obedience. Our election was unto the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Peter, to these strangers, says, grace unto you, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. That's what every child of grace should desire, that grace and peace be multiplied to us. Then Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, who is He speaking of? When He says His abundant mercy, He's speaking of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul said in another place, if Christ had not rose from the dead, we would be yet in our sins. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, we can look in this passage and we can see all 5 points of the biblical doctrine. We can see total depravity, you know, because first of all, you know, we realize that it was through His abundant mercy that has begotten us again. And, you know, we were resurrected from the dead. And it was unconditional love. And it was for a particular people we see here, that is two strangers scattered about. We're one of those strangers. And it's also irresistible grace, meaning that He's the one that set us apart. The Spirit is the one that set us apart. We didn't set ourselves apart. You know, now whenever we see the word sanctification in verse 2, sanctification of the Spirit, that means being set apart by God. And the final perseverance of the saints can be seen in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, there are a whole group of people out there that have denied this and tried to come against the final preservation of the saints, and they've tried to come against the doctrine of perseverance. But here, Peter affirms it. Peter says that we have been blessed by God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible. In other words, that will never fade away. That's what he says. It's undefiled. It fadeth not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. That's why Christ said, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. We're not kept by our own faith. Okay? We are not kept by our own works. We are not kept by doing, not the doo-doo. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's why Jerry Maurer and Michael Smith and many of the people that are into the doctrines of grace stress hope, hope, ready to be revealed in the last time is hope. But here he says we are, these people that have been granted this are kept by the power of God. We are not kept through anything in and of ourselves. Verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That should speak to every child of grace. Because if you are or I am a child of grace, we have gone through manifold, many, many temptations. And we are in heaviness from time to time. We are walking in a sin-cursed world, in the valley of destruction, as it were, where Satan resides as the prince and power of the air, who worketh in the children of disobedience. But verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Many people are trusting in their silver and their gold. Many people are putting all their trust and hope in the things of this world. But according to Peter here, the trial of our faith is much more precious than gold. That the faith that we have been given, for he is the author and finisher of our faith, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. We have only seen Christ through the eye of faith. We have not seen Christ. You know, Stephen looked up while he was being stoned and he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. We have never seen Christ. It says, whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him, not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, what was it that he told Thomas? You know, he goes, blessed are those who have not seen. You know, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I, you know, put my hands in your, feel the hands and thrust my hand in your side and so on. We have not seen Jesus Christ, but we still love him. And the faith and everything, God has wrought all of our works in us, and all of that that he's given us, we will rejoice someday with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Finally we rejoice now, but we will finally rejoice throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Verse 9 receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? When we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that will be the end of our faith. Even the salvation of your souls, he says. We will no longer have to worry about whether we are one of his or not when we are seated with him in the heavenlies. Ephesians says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But we will only understand that we are truly his. Now we're hoping in Christ, but we will only fully understand that we're truly his when we receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You know, this talks about the messianic prophecies, about the foretelling of Christ coming into the world. You know, it tells about Isaiah 53, you know, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. It tells of the fact that Christ would come and be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Counselor, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. Notice, the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. The Spirit of Christ was in the prophets. It said it was in them. And it did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Isaiah testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah testified it beforehand in Isaiah 53. Unto whom it was revealed. Who was it revealed to? Well, it was revealed to Isaiah. It was revealed to Zechariah. It was revealed to the psalmist David. But not of himself, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope. Notice it doesn't say, and know that you know that you know that you know that you're one of Christ. No. It says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, verse 14, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy on all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 16. There's a lot of people that have foul mouths and say they're children of God. They use all kind of swear and curse words and everything else. And you need to examine what's coming out of your mouth. Verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without a respect a person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That is talking about, Brother Michael was talking this morning about filial fear. In other words, an awesome respect, an awesome out of love and respect and honor that we show for Christ. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father. A lot of people have their bloodlines are in their silver and their gold and the traditions of their fathers. But he said we were not redeemed from these corruptible things such as silver and gold. We were redeemed, okay, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot. We see that evidently pointed to in Hebrews, showing him as the perfect sacrifice who entered once into the holy place and made a sacrifice for us. And the veil of the temple was rent from twain to the top to the bottom. Christ said, it is finished. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He wasn't manifest in the last times for the reprobate. He wasn't manifest in the last time for all people without exception. He was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, and manifest for his people in these last times. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God. Notice who they believe in God by. Not of their own free will. By him do they believe in God. That raised him up from the dead. Who raised him up from the dead? God raised him up from the dead. And gave him glory, speaking of Jesus Christ, that your faith and hope might be in God. Your faith and hope shouldn't be in some decision card you filled out or some baptism or some altar call service. You know, it was by him that we believe in God. John 6:29 says, This is the work of God that you believe on him. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren. One of the tokens that we have that we're one of his is that we love the brethren. We love the sisters and the brethren in Christ. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. I want to repeat that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. There's a lot of people out there that are purporting that people are born again of corruptible seed, and they're not. You know, they're born of incorruptible seed. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh, verse 24, is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, who is the most wonderful preacher in the whole world? The most wonderful preacher in the whole world is not Billy Graham or R.C. Sproul or John Piper or Larry Phillips or Michael Smith or Jerry Maurer or Joe Evans. The most wonderful preacher in the whole world is not the apostles. The most wonderful preacher in the whole world is Jesus Christ. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And the word of the Lord endures forever. Well, we've gone quickly through this today. I hope this has been a blessing to all of the ones that have tuned in and heard this. And I know I've gone pretty quickly, but I hope that it has been a blessing and edifying. And do we have a final selection as we conclude this time of worship?
There's 190, I love that
hymn. 190 in the old school hymnal, and it's called I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. The only way we can ever love the kingdom of God is if he has given us all things, including faith and belief and repentance, and all things. Mark, you want to start that?
I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine above, the church our blessed Redeemer sank with his own precious blood. I love thy church, O God, her walls before thee stand. Dear as the apple of thine eye, and graven on thy hand. For her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend. To her my cares and toils begin, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways, her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. Jesus, thou friend divine, our Savior and our King, thy hand from every snare and foe shall great deliverance bring. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can give, and brighter bliss of heaven.